Welcome to the KBR Sports Podcast, everybody. You already know the best sports podcast of your 24-hour day. I am recording this following the beatdown that the Miami Heat gave the Boston Celtics. And it was one of the most pitiful performances I've seen a team put on in regards to the Celtics. I think this season, maybe, it was pretty bad, especially for a team that is on the verge of going down 3-0, now down 3-0, of course. But even when I compare it to what happened on the Lakers side of things, when the Lakers have went down 3-0, in that game, the Lakers at least were competitive all throughout. And then coming down the stretch, they just couldn't stop Denver and match them bucket for bucket. But in this game, I mean, hell, to start the fourth quarter, Joe Mazzulla benched the starters to start the fourth quarter. Like, the guys are just out of it. I don't know. I mean, waving the white flag at the start of the fourth quarter is nuts to me. Right? And with the prospect of going down 3-0, but the fact that he felt like his team was so far disengaged that there was no point in playing his starters anymore just speaks volumes. And I don't know, man. They lost 128 to 102. And I'm sitting there, and I mean, there was points where this game got to like a 31-point deficit and so on. And truly, you give credit to the Miami Heat because they had so many guys pour in. This wasn't even like a dominant game from Jimmy Butler or Bam Adebayo by any regard. This game was totally defined by the others. Guys like Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson, Caleb Martin. Like, these guys were all just balling out. And they all showed up in a big way to provide another punch for the Heat. I mean, when you think about it, Gabe Vincent, he was 11 of 14 from the field, 6 of 9 from deep. So he was on a scorcher. Then Duncan Robinson, 7 of 11 from the field, 5 of 7 from deep for 22 points. Gabe Vincent led all scorers with 29 points. And then Caleb Martin with 18 points, 7 of 11 from the field, 4 of 7 from deep. The Heat as a team were 19 of 35 from deep and shot 54% from three-point range. You're just not going to beat a team if they're shooting that well. And then you go to the Boston side of things. Boston was 11 of 42 from deep, and they shot 26% from three. I think this was the first game that Jason Tatum, I think this is the first game all season that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were both in the same game held under 15 points. That's nuts. And they just, nobody had it on the Celtics tonight. Like, nobody had it. Nobody was able to step up in the moments that they needed most. It was funny because I'm sitting there, I'm like, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combined to go 1 of 14 from 3. That's how bad it was. And you really didn't feel them imposing their will in the game, man. It felt like they were just content with taking these long-range shots. They were content with just trying to get a home run to try and come back into the game, but you can kind of see the level of aggression both guys have. And just looking at their free throw shooting, Jason Tatum, one free throw all game, Jaylen Brown, zero free throws. These guys weren't forcing Boston, they weren't forcing the Heat defense into compromising positions. They weren't garnering any mismatches along the court, which is something that the Heat was doing all evening. The Heat were going at mismatches. And it's funny, looking back on things probably about a year or two ago, where the Heat were in a position where Duncan Robinson was being discussed as a guy that was unplayable in the postseason because of his defensive deficiencies and also because of his lack of offensive, versatility. But I saw him go past multiple people tonight, just blow by guys and get to the rim or blow by guys and create an opening shot for somebody else. And I was looking at it, I'm like, wow. Either the Celtics defense has just been horrid, which, I mean, I think both things could be true, or Duncan Robinson has just improved overall as a player. And I think for this Heat team, who's down a guy like Tyler Hero and down another guy like Victor Oladipo, you look at this Heat team and you just see how overall, I think it's funny because it was almost like a meme a couple of years ago where people were making fun of Heat culture, right? And people kept saying, oh, Heat culture. And this is one of those moments where you're looking at it and you're like, well, I don't think we can really question Heat culture now, right? You gotta give credit where it's due, because in the biggest moments where it's mattered most, Heat culture has shown up, and these guys showed up to play in the game knowing that when you go up 3-0, No team in NBA history has come back from a 3-0 deficit. And the Heat were the team playing like they were down. They had the prospect of going down 3-0 as opposed to the Celtics. The Celtics looked like a team that was already up 2-0 on another team, and they had a game to play with. And I listened to the Inside the NBA guys because I wanted to come in here with a different type of perspective, maybe that they can add to what I was thinking, or from guys who have been in this position already. And they even said, as guys down 3-0, the Celtics played tonight as if they were already down 3-0, essentially saying that normally the way things work is that you see if a team is down 2-0 and they go into that third game, normally that is probably one of the most competitive games all year for that team, because they are fighting tooth and nail to make sure that they can stay in the game and to try and win that game. Somewhat akin to what the Lakers did in game 3 and then just ended up not being able to keep up with Denver. But they said that a lot of what comes down to in game 4 for a lot of guys is kind of the realization that, man, to beat this team 4 straight games is just, this is most likely not going to happen, right? So people sort of reserve themselves, and that resilience is kind of killed out in that game 4. But game 3, you should see it first and foremost and at the forefront. But in this game 3, it just looked like the Celtics did not have that at all. They did not have it at all. And you watch that game, and the Celtics just looked like they were out there just floating the whole game. And I will say, man, the Heat were abnormally hot. Like, they were incredible. They were hitting so many different shots, so many tough shots, but it just felt like the Celtics didn't have an answer for it. And in a podcast that just went up yesterday, I guess technically today, but by the time you're hearing this, it was yesterday, I even alluded to the fact that the biggest thing about coaching and being a coach in the NBA is, or in any sport rather, is being able to prepare your players for what the other team is going to throw at them, and also be able to have a counter and another counter for that counter, but also being able to guide your players through different events taking place throughout the game. It just never felt like the Celtics had any answer to what was taking place during the game. And in the post-game press conference, it was a bit, I was a bit taken aback, because Joe Mazzulla so adamantly was saying that I didn't do this, I didn't have the guys ready, I didn't. It was on me, it was me. And to some extent, I do think that's true, because there's no way a team should look uninspired in a game 3 with the possibility of going down 3-0. There's no reason that that team should look uninspired. That team should look like the team that is, that's lacking the hustle to get to the 50-50 balls. There's no reason that team should just look like they're going through the motions. That's the thing that had me lost out there. I mean, I look at it and I'm just like, the Celtics out-rebounded the Heat. The Celtics, they just didn't, they weren't aggressive when it came to attacking the paint in comparison to the Heat. I'm so confused of how, like, this 52 paint points to the 42 of the Heat, 15 turnovers for the Celtics in comparison to 10 turnovers for the Miami Heat. Boston took was 13 of 17 from the free throw line. The Heat were 17 of 21. Boston was shot 40% from the field, while the Heat shot 56.8%. So this story of this game wasn't even totally in the effort, because, or maybe, I mean, it's part of it is just in execution, it seems like, because, I mean, Boston shot 17 more shots than the Heat. They just couldn't hit them. They weren't hitting their shots, but I guess this is where I somewhat am a bit perturbed, because this is where I would expect your stars to, in some way, if other guys aren't hitting, right, and everybody's struggling to shoot, like Marcus Smart, 2 of 8. Derek White was 3 of 9, 3 of 6 from deep. Sam Hauser, 1 of 4. Mike Muscala, 0 of 2. Al Horford, 3 of 6. Malcolm Brogdon, 0 of 6. Really, honestly, when you're looking at this, and I mean, Malcolm Brogdon missing every three he took hurt them a lot. So same with Marcus Smart. But what I'm really looking at this game, you hate to see it, but it really seems like this game was lost because of their stars. Because their 3-point percentage was essentially tanked by their stars, as well as their shooting percentages. This is a game that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown did not show up for, and it shows. And because you don't know reason why I have that position is because when I look at initially, because when you watch the game, it felt like Miami was a step slower than the Heat, right? And it felt like so many times the Heat were without question, they were just on fire, right? But it felt like the way the Celtics were playing, they were playing with the most lackadaisical way possible. And when I say that, I mean that not generating the best shots, they were just going through the motions in a sense. And I think that I'm initially sitting here thinking that Miami's just putting in this maximum effort. And I think obviously Miami was engaged and stuff, but a lot of what went well for Miami is that they were just hitting shots at it in a crazy way, just that strength in numbers mantra. But then you're thinking about some of the defensive possessions that they had there and some of those key balls that bounced the wrong way, whatever the case might be, landed in guys for Miami, and they're able to get second chance looks at the rim. But then when you're looking for a counterbalance or somebody to steady the weight of the avalanche coming down on you, your two stars are just nowhere to be seen. I think that's one of those things that sticks out the most to me is just how bad Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were. Like, they were bad. And you just can't have that with an NBA Finals berth on the line. Where your team is a year removed from making the NBA Finals, and I don't know, man. These stars are so bad. They were so bad. And it just kind of opens up the question for so many things because now I already have seen it on Twitter. Everybody talking about Joe Mazzulla and his coaching ability and such. But from what I understand, the Celtics have him under contract for beyond even this duration, the duration of this season. And so if it's a situation, and this is where I was pretty critical of the Celtics actually, because I felt like the Celtics were so quick to get, and I know stuff happened that violated maybe team policy with Ime Udoka, but I always felt like so many times in sports and even in different facets of life, mainly in sports. Sports is where we see the most public firings of general managers and such, right? And I felt as though not enough credit was being attributed to the contributions that Ime Udoka made to that team being able to reach the NBA Finals last season. And even that late run they made in the second half of the season to vastly improve their record and become more of a united unit. I felt as though there's something missing in that regard that last year's team had as opposed to this year's team. Last year's team guys that the moments that they needed to really step up and hit and be all present in the moment for these games. Like last year's team didn't feel like they quit. Like this game, watching this Celtics team, it felt like in some regard they quit. I mean, sitting your starters to start the fourth quarter, you're waving the white flag with 12 minutes left to play in game time. 12 minutes left to play. With those two stars and Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and whomever else. It's a tough apple to chew on, man. It's a tough pill to swallow. And I just, for me personally, it takes me back. I always felt like it was like that. It's like that one TikTok. You F around and you find out, right? And you put Ime Udoka's business out there. All right, cool. You out whatever's going out unnecessarily. Could have handled it internally within the team, but nope, they had to put it out there to because they were intent on making sure there was going to be a separation there between him and the organization. And they needed a reason for doing that, and so they put it out there, and so was their bidding. But let me tell you what, Ime Udoka sitting at home like, yep, you thought you can get rid of me that easy, huh? Because as much as some coaches get crapped on for some things, man, it's just not easy to be able to replace some of these coaches. It's really not easy, especially when they do things like get you to the NBA Finals, because there's a level of camaraderie there, right? There's a level of knowing your guys. You're the one that really has developed these guys in a sense. Not developed, right? I don't want to use that word because then it makes it seem like you brought them up. But you harnessed the talent in a certain manner that was able to maximize them to perform at the highest level of the sport itself. But now, it seems chalked, man. It seems chalked. You go down 3-0, and especially to look like you quit. That's the biggest thing. Saw Magic Johnson make a tweet about it, talking about, like, in all the years of watching this Boston Celtics and so on, and the long successes of this franchise, he'd never seen the Celtics quit. Never seen them quit. And then until now, you look at them and they just look like they had no heart in that game. They look like they didn't even want to be there. It was that bad. But in all seriousness, really, you got to give kudos to the Heat. Because the Heat, like I said, man, they're going by the Warriors mantra of strength in numbers. And Gabe Vincent was even on Inside the NBA. He's talking about how a guy like Jimmy Butler is comfortable with him taking more shots than Jimmy himself, because he wants him to just feel comfortable. He wants all the guys to feel comfortable, and all of them are in that system and trying to do what they make the right basketball plays, play good and winning basketball. And that's what you just love to see. It's not about in the moment, if your star doesn't need to be performing at a star level and somebody else is having the hotter hand and somebody else is killing it, having a star that has the humility to say, hey, I'll take a step back and you do your thing, man. You go ahead and keep killing it. You keep the foot on the gas pedal and let's keep these guys in their back foot, because the Celtics had no answer for what Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson, Caleb Martin, all these guys, what they were doing. Celtics had no answer for it. And I felt like I was sitting there watching that game and I'm just like, oh, man. The whole time I'm just like, oh, that one's going in. That one went in. That one went in. And I was just amazed. It felt like that kind of experience when I think it was game three. It was either game three or game four of the Nuggets and Denver series, where I was just like, my goodness, every shot from Devin Booker is going in. No matter what, that shot was going in. Double team? Huh. You thought it was. That shot's going in. It just kept going and kept going. And then it's just so hard to respond to an avalanche like that, especially on such efficient shooting from deep, because if you want to then go and attack the basket or something like that, maybe you're exchanging twos or threes, that team's just still steadily getting that lead on you. And in the Celtics case, they kept trying to match three for three and they just couldn't do it. I mean, their abysmal shooting stats rather garner that type of conversation. So I sit back and I'm just like, man, Celtics got whooped. Lakers down 3-0-2. It's about to be rough, man. It's about to be rough. The NBA Finals start June 1st, and we're going to have a good slog of a wait if both teams end up getting swept here, because the next game of the Celtics series and the Heat series is on Tuesday. And the Lakers one is on Monday, May 22nd. So this will definitely be an interesting watch. And I don't know, man. I wanted both series to go to seven games. It gives me more stuff to talk about. So, you know, for me, I would have loved it. But just with how both series have gone, I'm not predicting any of these teams last longer. I think the Lakers, they've given Denver their best hits, man. They've given them their best shots. Now, the only way I truly believe the Lakers win game four against Denver is if D'Angelo Russell shows up and AD and LeBron both have good games, or LeBron has a solid game and AD has a great game. That's the only way I see this Lakers team getting this win. And obviously, that was also be contingent on Austin Reeves keeping up his freaking amazingly hot streak of shooting right now and being able to provide in the same manner he has been, because he's been dependable to hit these shots. He's shooting over 50% right now from the field in this series. He's been awesome, and he's been a marksman from three-point range as well. And I sit there, and I'm just like, well, if there's any moment for the Lakers to try and make a run here, it's going to be game four, but I just don't have as much hope, because I've seen the version of this team where all the guys are essentially clicking to some degree. Not D'Angelo Russell, though. He's been the worst of the series. He's been bad. But pretty much almost everything was clicking in this series. And then they've lost that game. I've seen the game where more the onus was put on the role players. They lost that game. I see the game now where you want to kind of spread it out. Hopefully everybody's good. I've seen that, and it hasn't turned out well. I do think a lot of this series, here's the thing I don't want to do. I don't want to make revisionist history where people automatically forget that D'Angelo Russell was instrumental to winning that Grizzlies series and also winning the Warriors series. But now we've reached an impasse where he has been horrific in this Nuggets series. And I think that going forward, it's going to be interesting to see how Darvin Ham plays out these minutes. Because really, I mean, it's your last chance, right? This is the season right here. So we'll see if the Lakers actually come out with that desire or that desperation, as well as on the Heat and the Celtics side, because Celtics have their back up against the wall as well. But I feel like they have a greater margin of error just due to their level of talent. But you got to hit shots, or you got to get into the lane and get to the free throw line. One of the two. Their stars can't go 1 of 14 from 3. You can't just live out there on the perimeter and try to make things happen, as well as just dribbling in and taking jump shots. You got to force the issue to the rim and maybe create something for the big guy under the basket, or create a kick out to one of your guys in the corners or even on the wing. But you got to do something, because just sitting back there and launching it and it's not falling, that's why they're down 3-0. But guys, I appreciate you listening to this episode of the podcast. Obviously a shorter one, because I'm recording it right after the game and all the analysis and stuff, just to try and expand my understanding of what other things I didn't see that others might have seen during the game. But it's a shorter episode because obviously it's like going on like 1 o'clock a.m. So I definitely appreciate you all. Of course, make sure you guys follow the KBR Sports podcast on all podcast platforms. I almost forgot my podcast, but it's late. Make sure you follow on all podcast platforms, as well as on all social media platforms such as TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, you name it, as well as my own social platforms if you want to keep up with me and my personal life. But guys, I appreciate you all for tuning into this episode of the podcast. It means the world to me. Please leave a review and a rating, as it is not easy to do these, but I do my best to get them out as often as I can, and in as timely as I can to whatever game is just taking place. So guys, I appreciate you for listening in. And until next time, guys, I'm out.